Well, I'm so thankful for that song, I Shall Not Be Moved. I hope you understand what that means. Not moved away from our standing Christ. Not moved away from the rock that we have in Christ. And it doesn't mean that you shall not be moved this morning spiritually. I mean, we should pray this morning that God would move us spiritually with the message. As I said, today is back to school Sunday, and it means different things to different people. For those of you that are well out of school and your kids are well out of school, you don't have anybody going back to school, you're thinking, well, it don't mean anything to me. Well, I want to challenge you this morning with the message, and there is an application for you as well, and we certainly need to pray for our students that are going back and teachers. But it gives a lot of mixed emotions and feelings for parents and kids going back to school, teachers going back to school. I think most of them have some anxiety about it. You know, the scripture talks about we shouldn't be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. Take it to the Lord in prayer. But we still have a mixture of anxiety and some excitement. Some of the kids may be not so excited. Maybe it's more the parents excited. Like, yes, the kids are going to be gone to school, especially moms. I get some free time during the day. But there's different kinds of feelings when it comes to them going back to school. I think about kids going back and just, you know, having to face, you know, a new school year, new teachers, new classmates. I know for me, every time that school started, there was a lot of anxiety on my part. I always had a lot of anxiety about going back to school and wondering if I could, how it was going to be. I wasn't the bubbly type personality, so I didn't look forward to it like some kids did. I was like nervous about it. Being hearing impaired going to school, I was even more nervous about it, wondering how that I was going to fare that year. But whether you're a student, teacher, parent, grandparent, whoever you are that's sitting in this audience or listening live stream, my goal this morning is to bring a message that will help you and encourage you. And I would appreciate if you pray for me. My mind's kind of been going different ways this morning. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm just tired from getting back late last night from the mountains. I don't know. But I just appreciate your prayers. Sometimes preachers, we have to be ready at all times. We have to set aside all those things and just ask the Lord to use us. And I ask you to pray with me, the Lord would use me in this message. But before we pray, I just want to say, I believe it's really good to get back to Bible basics. There's a lot of Bible basics that we need to get back to as believers in the Lord. And just the simplest things. The simplest things. Like this kid's course. If you went to school or Sunday school here at Bible Baptist Church, I know you sang this song. I know most of you probably know this song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Sing with me. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let me just stop right there and say this. I shared this with Curtis the other week. Well, I heard a preacher say that people love to hear me sing tenor, 10 or 12 miles away. Or on a hill far away. Yeah, I'm not a singer. But let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. The reason why I share that song, because that's going to be our title this morning for the message. Let it shine. Let it shine. That's going to be the message this morning. Let it shine. You know, I love this text in Matthew 5. It follows the Beatitudes. This is the greatest sermon Jesus preached that's been recorded in Scripture. It covers chapters 5 through 7. The context of this being in Matthew, presenting Jesus as the King. This is the King speaking. He's speaking about our behavior in the kingdom of God, as citizens of the kingdom of God. He's speaking to his disciples, and I would say his students, if you would, because we're talking about back school, students going to school. The greatest student is to be a student of Jesus. To be a student of Jesus, to learn of him. That's one of the greatest things you can study, is to study Christ and spend time with him. But I believe that in this passage we read, verses 10 through 16, that Jesus is basically saying, put these Beatitudes in practice. And live these out in your daily life, because you are salt and you are light. You know, I think about the people in this world today, everywhere around us. And this is why this message goes to all of us. It's not just in the schools, is there spiritual darkness. But everywhere, our workplaces, the grocery store, our neighborhoods, homes around our neighborhood, people's hearts are dark. There's darkness everywhere we look. This whole world is lying in darkness. And the God of this world, Satan, little g God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of those that believe not the glorious gospel of Christ. People are blinded. People are in darkness. And it's so important as followers of Christ that we recognize who we are in Christ and what he wants to do in and through us. So I want to read this again. And I'm not going to read starting verse 10 this time. I'm going to start reading in verse 14 through 16, because this is going to be our focus. These three verses, we're going to focus on these three verses. And I want you to listen very closely. And before I read verse 14, just back up to verse 1. I want you to notice something. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. So I want you to understand that this primarily is, he's teaching his disciples. I believe that the multitudes were in earshot, but it says his disciples came to him. He went up in the mountain and his disciples came to him. So I want you to understand he's primarily speaking here to his disciples, because notice in verse 14, he's talking to his disciples. He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, I shared with you that the Lord put on my heart a couple weeks ago when Brother Tom Hastings was here. He preached on a Wednesday night a couple weeks ago. And we sang the song, Send the Light, before he came up to the podium here to preach. And he said, you know, we need to send the light, but he said, we also need to be the light. And I don't know, that just stuck with me. And I was praying about Back to School Sunday, and it just seemed like that thought just kept coming back to me. Be the light. Be the light. Be the light. And so I went to this passage, started reading it, and I was convinced that the Lord wanted me to preach on this for this Sunday. And then this morning, you know, I get the bulletin, and it says, ye are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. You can't make it up. I didn't know this was going to be today. It was encouragement to me this morning, though, when I looked at this, and I was like, okay, Lord, that's just another confirmation that this is the message you want for our church today. And so I'm just so very thankful that many times that's how God works. He speaks clearly. It's not like in an obscure way we're trying to guess what he's saying, but he speaks clearly, and I'm thankful for that. And before we pray, I want to read from two more passages just briefly, because there's something that I think we need to hear from these two passages. So if you have your Bible, let's go to Ephesians 5, and then we're going to go to Colossians 1. Just a few verses from both passages. But I want you to listen to what Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. Paul said, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Now notice past tense of that. "You were sometimes darkness. But now," present tense, "now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Don't you love this passage? We were once, sometimes, darkness. Now are you light in the Lord. Go to Colossians 1, verse 12 through 14. Verse 12. When I read this passage, I wanted to include it here because I'm fixing to pray. And this verse 12 is going to direct my prayer as we pray in a moment. But listen to what it says. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet." That means he qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So I want you to notice that Paul says, "giving thanks unto the Father." And that's what I want to pray. I want to just pray a prayer of thanksgiving as we get started, just thanking God for making us meet, for saving us and taking us out of that darkness and bringing us over into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his own dear Son, having forgiven us and redeemed us. I mean, this is something that we need to thank God for. I mean, if you're discouraged today about anything in your life, if you came here burdened with needs, you need to stop right now and just give thanks with me as I pray. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for showing me these verses this morning in the garden time. And just reminding me what you've done for me. I'm so thankful that it was you that made me meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in life. It was through your power, through your will, that you saved me, that you changed me, that you translated me from darkness to light. You're the one that qualified me. You're the one that equipped me for the inheritance of life. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I am in the light, that I'm no longer in the darkness. The Lord, my heart's burdened today because I know there are many that cannot give thanks for that. Many across our city, in the schools that are going to be opening up this week, their doors, There's so many that are in spiritual darkness, having no hope without Christ. Lord, there are people all around us in darkness. And you've called us to let it shine, to let it shine. Lord, may we be ever grateful for the light that we have. So grateful that we'd share that light with others. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in verse 14, I want you to notice this first statement that Jesus makes to his disciples. And if you're here today and you know Christ as your Savior, you're a disciple of Jesus. I know disciple means a follower. And I know there's commitment involved in that. But when you look a lot in the scriptures, like the book of Acts, for example, they even call the church the disciples of the Lord. That was a title that was given to believers. They were disciples. And so we need to wear that title because we're followers of Jesus. And when we begin to believe that and think like that, it'll affect our walk. We'll start walking and acting like one. And so as he is speaking to the disciples, I want you to notice the verb in this statement. Jesus says, or let me just say this, Jesus did not say, you should be the light of the world. I don't want you to think, young people, and as well as adults that are here, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to say, man, you should be a light in school this week, or this semester, or this year, or you should be a light at work. No, that's not what I'm going to say, and that's not what Jesus is saying. He did not say that. I want you to notice what he did say. Ye are the light of the world. Are. You know, and this is another thing I want to say. He did not say you are to be a reflection of the light. You know, I used to preach this verse that way. I used to say that this means you are to be a reflection of Christ. Now, there's some truth in that, but that's not what this is saying. When I begin to study this, this is not what he's saying. He's not saying you should reflect me or you should be a reflection of the light. No, he's saying you are the light. You are. Amen. This verb, are, is present tense. Now, that means now. You are the light of the world. He told his disciples, right now, today, you are the light of the world. Not you're becoming the light of the world. Not you should be or shall be. You are the light of the world. So let's not miss what Jesus is saying. He's saying, right now, this is who you are. It doesn't matter what you think. If you're in Christ and Christ is in you, if you pass from darkness to light, ye are the light of the world. That's a fact. And the reason why I can say it's a fact, because this is in the indicative mood, for those of you going to school and learning this in English, it's a statement of fact. Indicative mood means a statement of fact. So Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. This is a statement of fact. This is who you are. Who you are. Period. Fact. Ye are the light of the world. You're no longer in darkness. I'll quote Ephesians 5:8 that we read, ye were, that's past tense, right? You were sometimes darkness, but now are, present tense, indicative, ye are light in the Lord. So based on that, he says, walk in the light. Walk as children of light. That's what Paul said. So Paul is stating the indicative first in Ephesians 5:8. The indicative is you are light in the Lord. The imperative, walk as children of light. So that's the same thing Jesus is saying here. Ye are. He's given the indicative. Verse 16, he's given the imperative. Let your light so shine before men. That's imperative. That's an imperative. That means it's a command. So until you get the indicative, you're not going to get the imperative. So I want to just say, believing this indicative statement enables you to live out the imperative command. So I want to put this little quote up here. What you believe about yourself will affect how you behave. There are so many Christians sitting in churches thinking that I'm not really the light because I'm not living like I should live. That's not what Jesus said. He didn't say you're the light as long as you're living right. No, he just said, you are the light of the world. It's who you are. It's who you are. You look at what Paul says in some of his letters about Christians. You're saints in Christ. Not your becoming, not after you die and see Jesus. No, now you're saints. You're holy. Now. That's your position. So I just want you to understand that we have to understand who we are, that because we are light in the Lord, if we start believing that, it's going to affect how we behave. You know, Proverbs 23:7, I think I referred to this recently, says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as you're thinking right now in your heart about yourself, that's what you're going to be. That's how you're going to act. If you start thinking, well, I'm not light, you're not going to live his life. This is so important that we just get this very basic Bible truth. Ye are the light of the world. And I just want to say, to let it shine, you have to first know Christ as your Savior. You must know Jesus. You're not the light if you don't know Jesus. If you've not come to Christ, experienced redemption in Christ and forgiveness of sins in Christ, you're not light. You're still in darkness. You're still in Satan's kingdom. You're still in that kingdom of darkness. As long as you come to faith in Christ, repentance and faith in Christ, you're translated out of that kingdom into God's kingdom, kingdom of light. It's not good enough to just be good. That's not how you become light. Just like, well, I'm going to be a good Christian. That's not how you become light. Knowing your Bible is not, or about your Bible is not good enough. You must know Christ. You must know Christ. You must know Him as your Savior. And I want to add that to let your light shine, not only must you know Christ, you must know who you are in Christ. I mean, honestly, you got to know who you are, because he says you are the light of the world. You know, you're the light no matter how you feel, think, or what you do. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Even a backslidden Christian, you are the light of the world. You may not be shining. Your light may not be burning like a burning, shining light should be. You are the light. You are the light. You know, this statement of fact, you are the light of the world, it basically means this. You're a light bearer. Bearer, you bear light. As a saved person, Christ in you, and you're in Christ, you bear the light. Capital L. Did you know that Jesus said, I am the light of the world? Capital L. But he told his disciples, ye are the light of the world. as well. It's because the light, capital L, lives in us that we are the light of the world. And that's why I say it's not be a reflection of His light. No, the light lives in us. Capital L light lives in us. You're the light. You're the light. It's kind of like Christ when He taught on the vine. I am the vine, you're the branches. He said, I'm the true vine, my Father's the husbandman. I'm the vine, you're the branches. You know, we don't bear fruit just because we're a branch. We bear fruit because we're connected to the vine, to Jesus. We're part of the vine. We're one with the vine. That's why we bear fruit. Why can Jesus say to us, you are the light of the world? Because the light is in us. Capital L, light is in us. So as a light bearer, I want to speak to those that are followers of Christ, disciples of Jesus today, as a light bearer. I want to give you some truths from this passage. I want to first speak to you about our privilege as light bearers. Our privilege as light bearers. You know, Jesus, when He says in verse 14, ye are the light of the world, He's given His disciples a pretty great compliment as well as a responsibility. When He says, ye are the light of the world, this, I say, is a compliment because Jesus Himself claimed, I am the light of the world. Let's just look at that and go to John 8. If you have your Bible, John 8, 12. Listen to what Jesus said. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isn't that amazing that we're given the same title? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then He tells us, ye are the light of the world. But I want to just clarify that there's only one who can claim He is light in and of Himself, and that is Jesus. I can't say I'm the light of the world in and of myself. But I can believe that I am the light because the light lives in me. He's given me light. I want you to look in John chapter 1 if you're still in John. I want you to notice what it says in that first chapter, in those first few verses. It starts out, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was light, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now I want you to notice verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. Now listen to this. To bear witness of the light. I don't know about you, but in my Bible, light is capitalized in verse 7. To bear witness of the light that all men through Him might believe. Verse 8. He was not that light, capital L, but was sent to bear witness of that light, capital L. That was the true light, capital L, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Isn't that interesting? He came to bear light. He was not that light, but we're light bearers. We're to bear light. I want you to look at also in John 5, in chapter 5, verse 35. Here's another thing that Jesus said about John the Baptist. John 5, 35, it says, He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in His light. So I want you to notice He's called a burning and shining light who was sent to bear witness. Now, something I want to just help you understand, I'm just trying to help you, because sometimes people think, how can he say, ye are the light of the world, if he said, I am the light of the world? I'm trying to explain that. But let me just compare it. Jesus is compared to sunshine, to the sun. I'm saying compared. He's not the sun. Don't start worshiping the S-U-N. Okay, but he's the sun. I mean, that's what gives light to our universe, right? Believers are compared to a candle. In this passage, verse 15, neither do men light a candle, but and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. A candle is something that must be kindled, right? It has a beginning and an end. Jesus, like the sun, he's eternal. He is the light. We are like a candle. We must be kindled. We have a beginning, we have an end. And when he talks about John the Baptist being a burning and shining light, it gives that idea of a candle burning and shining brightly. I'll give you another example. If you'll look in Revelation chapter 1, the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. I want you to look. I'm not going to, because of time, John had this vision. And he saw the Son of God. He was walking in the midst of these seven golden candlesticks. And I want you to look in verse 20. It gives the interpretation of this. It says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. So he's going to explain what those mean. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So I want you to notice something here, that in the book of the Revelation, the churches are represented by a candlestick. And even in chapter 2, verse 5, he warns the church of Ephesus that if they didn't repent, he would come and remove their candlestick. Remove their witness. Remove that light. In other words, their light would be dimmed. The church would be dark. I think a lot of churches are like that today. And the reason I explain it that way is that we're like a candle that has to be kindled. It kind of helps you to understand that ye are the light of the world, but your light might not be shining brightly. It may be burning dimly. It's Jesus who kindles that light in us. He's the one that kindles it, so we can let it shine. Without Jesus, we cannot shine. Just like as branches in the vine, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. If you don't abide in me, my word doesn't abide in you, you can't do nothing. Same way with the light. If we're not dependent on Jesus to kindle us, the light's not going to shine brightly. But it doesn't change the fact ye are the light. This is a privilege. We are the light. That's a privilege we have, to be identified with Jesus in that sense. We are the light. Just as he said, I'm the light of the world, we as a group of believers, we are the light of the world. And as you spend time with Jesus, as you abide in Jesus and his word abides in you, your light will burn brightly. It will be kindled to greater flame. It will be a burning and shining light. That's what God wants. So let's go to our purpose as light bearers. Our purpose as light bearers. Our purpose is very simple. Let it shine. I mean, that's what he says in verse 16. Let your light so shine. The purpose is light bearers, is being the light. We are to shine. You're not just a light receiver, you're a light giver. Think about that. We received this light from Jesus. Now we're to give this light. And this is a personal responsibility. When he calls them out and says, ye are the light of the world, it's a personal responsibility that we have as believers to give the light. And you may say, well, I'm a shy person, and I'm just not the type to talk to strangers or talk to people about their private personal lives. Well, listen, you are the light. You need to change your identity. Stop taking your identity in your shyness. You may be shy, but your identity is you are the light. God wants to use you. Jesus wants to shine through you. He wants to use your vessel to give someone else light. That's your purpose. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Just as a city sitting on a hill can't be hid at night because you'll see all the lights, so ye, if you have Christ in you, it cannot be hid. Let me give you this quote. If Jesus is in you and you are walking with him, it cannot be hid. I didn't get that out of a book. That was just something the Lord gave me as I was thinking on this thought. That if Jesus is in you and you're walking with him, it cannot be hid. It can't. It's just going to overflow. It's just going to bubble out. I think of John 7 when Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit being in us like a fountain of, or spring of living water just flowing out of our bellies. I mean, that's when we are walking with Jesus, we're abiding with Jesus, you can't hide the light. I think of the disciples. Remember what he said to them in Acts 4? I'm just going to paraphrase it. They took notice that they had been with Jesus. They saw something different. They saw light in their lives. I want you to look at verse 15 again. It says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Let me ask you a question. Why do you light a candle? Now, some of you ladies may be thinking, to make the house smell good. But you know what? I could preach on that too. We need to light our lights. Let it shine because it'll make the room smell like Jesus. But that's not... This is pre-electric days, okay? This is pre-electric power. The purpose of candles back then wasn't to make the house smell good. It was to give light in the house. They read by candlelight. They wash dishes at night by candlelight. In a typical home in Jesus' day, a peasant's home would be like a one room. There'd be a lamp. What it would be was just a little earthen vessel with a little oil in it. And there'd be a wick floating in there. That was their candle, so to speak, their light. You know, when we read candlestick, we think of the wax candle. But I believe what he's talking about here is what I'm describing. An earthen vessel with oil in it and a little wick that have to kindle it. And then that light, once it was kindled, the purpose of it was to give forth light. And so this speaks of our purpose. Do you realize that you may be the only saved person, the only light in your home? In your family, your extended family. You may be the only light at your family reunion. You may, kids, you may be the only light in your class. You may be it. Those of us that are out in the world working jobs, you may be the only light at your workplace. Ladies going to the grocery store shopping, you may be the only light as you're there shopping groceries. That your purpose as the light of the world is to give light. It's a personal responsibility. This light wasn't kindled just to look at. It had a purpose, to shine, to give light. Jesus didn't save us just so we can be looked at. He saved us so we can shine light to others so they can know Christ. But you know, this is also a corporate responsibility, because ye, I don't know if you realize that ye in our Bible is an emphatic personal pronoun in plural. Anytime you find ye in the King James Bible, it's always plural. If you find you, it's singular. That's why I like the King James. If you look at modern versions, you're not going to get that distinction unless you go back to the original language. But here it's saying all of you. He's saying to his disciples, all of you corporately, you are the light of the world. So it's not just each one of you as individuals, but corporately. And just like in Revelation, the church was a candlestick. We here corporately, Bible Baptist Church, we're to be a light. Not just individuals going out into the world, we're to be lights, but we corporately to be a light. We're to shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You know, you can't, an individual can't be a city that's set on a hill. A church can, though. A church can. So number three, let's look at our precaution as light bearers. You know, Jesus speaks in verse 14 and 15 of the possibility of light being hidden. He said, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. But then he says in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Maybe there is a possibility, I guess I would say, that it could be hidden. But the precaution is we have to take precaution that we don't dim our light, that we don't hide our light. That's what I believe Jesus is trying to encourage them. Listen, your purpose, you're to shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Now, a bushel was a container that they would use to measure dry goods, like seed, flour. And so it was some using an earthenware vessel, and it would be used to measure. And I read that a bushel is equal to one peck. Well, what is one peck? It's about 9 liters. Liquid, I guess, or dry, I don't know. I didn't look it up. But so basically, it's something they measure. So you don't light a candle and go hide it under a bushel. Some people would describe it as a basket, you know, hiding under a basket, or, you know, hiding it under something like to hide it and cover it. And what he's saying here, a bushel could be anything in our lives that is preventing Jesus from shining through us. That's what this bushel is speaking about. You know, we're be as a church, like a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. But a lot of churches are dimming the light. You know how they're dimming the light? Indifference. Hypocrisy. Envy, divisions, carnality. A bushel could speak of material things, because it's the measured goods that are sold. Profits made off of selling things. It could have been that. In Luke 8:16, it talks about neither hide it under a bed. A bed would speak of love of ease. We could just add all kinds of things. And so it could be any kind of sin in your life. It could be disobedience. It could be anything that you're doing that's hindering Christ from working through you. Hindering the Holy Spirit from having His way. Any kind of sin. Condemn the light. When we're not shining the light, I want to say this. When we're not shining the light, it's not because there's no light in us. Jesus said, ye are the light. I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. It's not that Jesus has left us. It's because sin is obscuring the light. So don't go thinking that Jesus left you. No, you need to get right with God so that you can come back to Christ and walk with Christ, walk in the Spirit, so that light can shine through brightly. So that's the precaution. We're going to move to the last one. Our primary goal is light bearers. Let's go to verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. Notice that next word. That. You know what that means? So that. Because. So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want to say the purpose and Letting our light shine by doing good works is not so others will glorify us, but so they'll glorify God. It's about glorifying God. That's the primary goal as light bearers. We want to point all glory to Jesus. All the good that we do when we go show kindness to someone, show compassion, give, share the gospel. All of that is not so we can come back to church and, hey, guess what I did? Look at me. No, it's all pointing back to Jesus. It's to glorify our Father which is in heaven. C.H. Spurgeon said this, the object of our shining is not that men may see how good we are, nor even see us at all, but that they may see grace in us and God in us and cry, what a father these people must have. That's the object. That's the goal. People to see Jesus. Delight, capital L. I think most of you would agree with me that the world almost always gets their opinion of Christ by looking at Christians, not looking at their Bible. I mean, just think of that. They get their opinion of Christ from you. Most people will not go to the Bible and read it because they're a natural man. They can't understand it. Their eyes are blinded. But they're watching you. Young people, they're watching you. Are you cheating on your tests? How are you responding to your teacher? What kind of student are you? What kind of friend are you? Do you join the crowd that bullies others? I mean, they're watching. Are you going to show people Jesus? Are you going to let the light shine? I want you to think of what Peter said in 1 Peter. You can turn there if you want. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter agreed with what Jesus taught. He said this. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who had called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want you to notice what he said, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who had called you out of darkness into His light. The praises of who? Of Him. Where does the glory go? To Him. He called you out of darkness into light. We're to show forth His glory. We're to show forth His praises. How He is excellent. How He is wonderful. That's the purpose of showing forth these good works. You know, this morning as I was praying through this passage, the Lord gave me another thought. We don't do good works to earn our relationship with the Father, but to exalt our Father. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the good works is not so we can earn that relationship with Him, that we can earn salvation. No, it's so that we can exalt Him. Exalt Him. And I'll circle back to what we said in the beginning. You cannot shine. You cannot let it shine unless you know Jesus. So do you know Jesus? Is the light inside? Do you have the light in you? Capital L light. Do you have the light in you? Remember what Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, shall have the light of life. Do you have that light in you? If not, would you come today to receive the light? Would you come today to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm in darkness. I need light. I want you to come into my life. I want you to save me. Forgive me of my sins. Maybe you're a Christian here and the Lord spoke to you about your light being dim. Maybe you're hiding the light. It may be because of your fear. It may be because of your wrong identity. You're focusing on the wrong things. You're saying, well, I'm just not that kind of person. Jesus said, ye are. Ye are the light. Ye are the light. Your very purpose is to shine. That's why he saved you. All of us, every single one of us who come to Christ, we're to shine. We're to shine. We're to show forth his praises. So I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Father, we come to you. We're so grateful. Once again, for the light. Your Son, Jesus, the light of the world. So thankful that he came into this world to shine the light. That we can see our sin and to see your love for us. How you gave your Son to die for our sins, to redeem us out of our sin, to forgive us of our sins. Oh, Father, I thank you for your great love that you have for each one of us. There may be someone here today in darkness, never trusted Christ as their Savior. But you're beginning to shine the light of the gospel into their hearts. Oh, Lord, I pray today they'd come to Jesus. Receive him as their Lord and Savior. Please, Lord, I pray this be the moment, the time for them to become a light bearer, to be translated from darkness to light. And Father, I pray you help each one of us who have come to the light, who are children of light. Lord, help us to walk as children of light. Lord, I'm asking that you'd help me as a pastor, as a resident here in Dumas, Texas, to walk as a child of light in my community. People would see the light in my life. They'd see Jesus in me. God, help us as a church to be a light-bearing church. Help our candle to shine brightly. Lord, kindle our hearts today through your word, through your spirit, as we yield to you. Kindle us so that we can be a burning and shining light to those around us. Lord, we need you. Thank you for all you've done for us, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.